Let's get to the matters at hand. Tonight was going to be our prayer service, but when Barry and Batya told me they were going to be in town, I hadn't seen them since we got bombed together in Jerusalem. That was intended. I got more laughs on the stuff that wasn't intended. I don't think I met you in 86 when I first came. I think the first time I met you was at one of the conferences. But one of the things that impressed me was when the Gulf War broke out, you guys didn't leave. You guys stayed there and continued to minister. And why aren't you two sitting together? Did you have a fight on the way over? She's sitting in the men's section. I had two guys. That war was kind of strange. We had Saddam Hussein sending these rockets. Wow, this is a dull crowd tonight. Oh, my goodness. The only time anybody laughs is when I don't make. And it was, on one level, it was horrible. Israel was not involved in this at all. But, of course, when anybody in the Middle East fights, Israel's involved. And so the lunatic was sending these 500-pound V-2 rockets, basically, over into Israel. The only country in the world who could deal with that kind of abuse. People make fun of my sense of humor. They'll make fun of Barry's as well. Jews deal with things humorously. It's a coping mechanism that we've developed over the millennium. And one of the most wonderful moments of my life was sitting in Elchanan's living room, watching the TV, listening to the sirens going off, and there on Israeli TV is a parade of some of the most beautiful women you have ever laid your eyes on. And I'm not talking about pretty women. I'm talking about women that make you weak in the knees. You start to salivate, you know? Israel's top models in these black dresses, this evening wear, and the pearls and diamonds, and they're just strutting their stuff down this runway, and it's a fashion show. And it was a fashion show in honor of Chag Haskadot, the Feast of the Scuds. Now, Israelis, everywhere you went, you had to carry your gas mask with you, because nobody knew if Saddam Hussein would actually attach chemical weapons to these scuds. And it was pretty tense. So, life must go on. So the theme of this show was how to accessorize your gas mask for evening wear. And here are these women parading up and down this runway with rhinestones, feathers, and I'm watching this. Now, mind you, the sirens are going off, and the show is being interrupted as we have to go into Cheder Hatun, the sealed room, and then we come back out, and there they are. They're just prancing down this. Little bags with rhinestones for the atropine injections that you needed to take in case you got chemical attacks. You had to shoot yourself in the neck, and then you have to pin it to something, because if you don't, and the medics come by and you're unconscious, they'll give you a second shot of atropine, and then you die. And I'm sitting there going, you know, the only country in the world that could deal with this kind of abuse, because we're so used to it. It's just standard fare. We've been in a declared state of war since 1948. And so many of the missions recalled their people, and some of my friends were recalled to the States because they wouldn't. And that bothered me. You know, when would Israel need more prayer? When would it need spiritual people there? And Barry and Batya remained, and they did what they always did. They collected food, they collected clothing. And they earned a lot of respect from me. Not that they need it, but you got it anyway. This ministry has been going on since when?
King David.
You're not that old. Since the 70s, isn't it? Early 80s?
Early 90s.
No.
Mid-80s.
Yeah, because I was...
there was a transition. I'll explain.
Okay. Don't make me out to be a liar.
No, not at all.
And so, unfortunately, well, when they showed up, they have the pulpit. And so prayer night, which was supposed to be tonight, is going to be postponed. Our time was last week for the first Friday of the month. That's tonight for the first Friday of the month. So anyway, I'd like you guys to come up because I've just plumb run out of stuff to say and I don't know what else to do. So just make you... Well, while they're coming up, so we get off the plane, and there's this guy, and he's about 3 days older than dirt. And he's sitting there, and he's explaining this stuff to us, and he's telling us about the atropine injections and the bath masks and everything. And then he says, at the end of this talk about death and horror, he goes, "Shalom, shalom, welcome to Israel."
Before we enter into a time in praise and worship, you've heard of the Royal Ascot horse race in the United Kingdom. Actually, it was just a week or two ago. So when these pretty ladies were walking with their gas masks, I call it the Royal Mask Off. So mask off, mask on. What's interesting about the 1991 Gulf War, actually, we couldn't go anywhere because we lived there. So even though we had a congregation at that time and now a much grown ministry on different levels, which we'll share during this evening and tomorrow, what's interesting about the Gulf War is Saddam Hussein launched 39 Scud missiles in 39 days, all to end on the evening of the reading of the Book of Esther for Purim. And if that wasn't somehow organized in God's prophetic calendar, I don't know what was. And it's amazing. Out of the few hundred rockets that hit, 100 of them actually hit in populated areas. And I'll never forget a few of the rockets, a testimony of a couple of these rockets, because it was only recorded that one man died as a result of a heart attack indirectly as a result of the Gulf War. And other than that, it's amazing not one person died. Now, I couldn't go anywhere because I was in the Golani Brigade. I was in the military there. I was in the IDF, so I wasn't going anywhere anyways. My bags were packed. Why? Because there was intelligence that if Saddam lost it completely, he might send troops into the eastern border through Jordan. And the Jordanians were not considered strong enough to withstand an Iraqi assault, which would then probably come with Jordanian troops, who at that time we didn't have a peace agreement. And so therefore, we had a call up and our bags were packed and ready to go. But one of those rockets hit a direct hit on a Chinese restaurant in Tiberias. And lo and behold, not one person was injured or killed. You know why? Because the rocket hit on Shabbat and the Chinese restaurant was closed. But to show you also how serious these things can be, a Scud rocket hit a U.S. Army barracks down in Saudi Arabia, I believe it was, somewhere in the Gulf States, and about 90 people were injured or killed with one Scud. So to imagine 39 Scud rockets hit in 39 days and not one Israeli died as a result of a direct hit is nothing less than a miracle. And we stayed out of the war, other than probably the field intelligence, stayed out of the war to the point that we could until finally we told President Bush, we cannot stay out any longer. Either you silence this or we go in and take them out. Today, by comparison, we are facing over 100,000 rockets in the hands of Hezbollah in Syria and in southern Lebanon right now. And so that's to compare what was then today with what is today we are facing as a nation. So it's a little bit of a challenge, and I do appreciate, Rabbi Burt, you sharing how we gained your respect in that way, but really we wouldn't have gone anywhere. That's home for us, and we had a congregation in central Jerusalem at the time of which we were responsible for. And I'll never forget, and Bati, if you just hold 1 second while I'm sharing this. During that war, in one of our meetings, they had discouraged public meetings in the night. And as Bert was sharing, we all had to carry our gas mask with us. In the case of our one or two-year-old son, we had to carry, actually, four-year-old son. One year. No, he was older. Or whatever. He's 28 now. So we had to carry a gas mask tent around. Now, in those days, also, we didn't have a requirement in building code for a sealed room. Today, every building, every apartment, every home has a sealed room according to the standards required in building code now in the state of Israel. But then we had to take, like, tape, masking tape, electrician's tape, any kind of tape, and run to a room, which most doors were wooden then, and tape them every time the sirens went off. We taped our door so much. We had a small 450 square foot apartment for four of us at the time. And we kept running into the same room, sweating it out, no air conditioning. Temperatures would be so hot in there. And even in the midst of that, we taped the door so much that at the end of the war, we just lifted the tape with the door all in one piece. We had been through so many rolls of tape. But what had come to my mind was an elderly woman, certainly into her 80s, had come into our congregation one weekend, and we had about 80, 90 people, and we were looking for a way to expand, and we were going to knock down a wall in the place we were meeting so we could fit another 20 or 30 people in. And at the end of our meetings, we always would pray for the sick. And so she came forward at the end of the meeting, and she said, and she asked for prayer for her heart. Well, What we didn't know was, first of all, we didn't know who she was, but of course we weren't going to refuse praying for her. And then when we laid hands on her, she began to, like, I don't know, gyrate like a missile getting ready to go off at launch. And I thought, oh God, if she has a heart attack here, we don't even know who to call. But she began to prophesy and say these words to Bati and I, and turned to us and said from Isaiah 54, we found it finally, and I have it written in my Bible. You can see February 1991, enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare and lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes, for you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. And I really didn't know. And at the end of that chapter, let me just say, it talks about no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And I really didn't know, was that like pertaining to the wall we were going to break down to add 20, 30 people more to the congregation? Or was there something more? Well, as a result of that war, something evolved, sprang forth, was ushered into our lives, and right now we're getting ready to finish an 80,000 square foot building complex that will be the new home of our ministry right in the heart of Israel. And those same words that this lady, whose name, by the way, I only later years found out after she passed away, her name was Minnie. Minnie was saved as a child during the Azusa Street Revival. And she used to drop in like a paratrooper. You'd hear from other people we'd meet through the decades. You know, this elderly lady once came in and started prophesying to us, and we didn't know who she was, but her name was Minnie. And it just took me a little bit to finally piece together this was the same Minnie. And so those words have truly been being fulfilled and are being fulfilled in our own lives and ministry today, to the point that today we've helped now over 900,000 Israelis, both Jews, Arabs, Messianic Jews, Orthodox Jews, secular Jews, Orange Jews. Oh, that's bad. Arabs, Christian Arabs, Muslims, whoever God has put in our path by the Spirit of God. We have gone to do everything we could to fulfill the scriptures where it speaks about in Yaakov, James. It says, true religion before God and the Father is this, to take care of the orphans and the widows in their time of need. And faith without works is dead. And so we'll share more about that in our vision. But as we're about to praise and worship the Lord, I do want to share this, that there was a Catholic priest and a minister and a Jewish rabbi that got together to talk about when life begins. And so, of course, the Catholic priest quickly jumped on the subject and he said, well, everybody knows that life begins at conception. And they turned to the minister, who was from some traditional denomination. They said, when do you think does life begin? And he says, well, I believe life begins at birth. So, of course, they both look at the rabbi and they said, Rabbi, when does life begin? And he said, well, when the last child leaves the house and the dog dies. So, so now our three children have now all moved out of the house. And out of 9 dogs that we've had over the last 30 years, our last dog is about 13 now. And he's an old golden retriever. He smokes a corncob pipe and wears sunglasses. And he kind of would remind you of some, you know, jazz singer, only he's a golden retriever. One thing I want to remind all of you in case I forget, because as the night goes on, it's easy to forget things. At the table in the Oneg room, We have a sign-up sheet for, because you're talking about prayer, and we think it's vital and very important what you're doing here with the 24/7 Prayer Watch. We send out a regular prayer bulletin called JNN or Jerusalem News Network, and some of you may receive it already, but it comes out by email. It's a free service, and basically it's to counter all the fake news and anti-Semitic, anti-Israel news that's out there, and to try and give you a proper perspective and report to eliminate the confusion that exists amongst churches and even Messianic congregations, to give you kind of a rudder how to guide in prayer. So if you'd like to receive it, it's a free service. We have this sign-up sheet out in the Oneg room foyer out there, where CDs and other things are, and just print very clearly, and we'll get you on the list as soon as we can. And any of those prayers you want to integrate or send on to other people, please do. We believe that God's raising up an army of intercessors in this day and age. And also, there's a free packet here with a DVD inside. This is called Reaching Higher. It's from our ministry. There's a DVD inside of there. There's a way to partner with us as well. And we just want to encourage all of you. You know, when we read or heard tonight the Proverbs 31 about a diligent wife or a virtuous woman, in Hebrew, the words are Eshet Chayil, which means a woman of army, an army woman. We thank you, Lord, tonight for this wonderful Shabbat. We thank you for your presence tonight. We thank you, Lord, also for your word, Devar Adonai. We thank you, Lord, that there is none like you in all the heavens and in all the earth. And we do put ourselves in sync together, and we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. For your word says, they shall prosper that love thee. Lord, for all of us who call upon the name of the Lord, and deliverance shall come from Mount Zion. The Torah, the law of the Lord, shall go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So we thank you this night for the privilege of being able to come together freely in the United States of America, in the land we call in Hebrew Arzot HaBrit, the lands of the covenant. And so we thank you tonight, and we appreciate you being here with us and amongst us. In Yeshua's mighty name, amen. 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 You may be seated for the moment. Amen. But I do want to talk about a few things, as I don't think it's every day you get somebody from Israel in the flesh. But first of all, let me just say a little bit. I don't want to get into my testimony. I think I did that about 16, 17, 18 years ago here, I think. But who knows? You never know how radical I'll get in the morning. whatever I'm sharing tonight will probably be different than in the morning. So we want to really, me and who was here a minute ago, we want to encourage you, Batya and I, want to encourage all of you to come again if you can in the morning. I'll try not to repeat anything, and in a little while, we'll see about a three-minute video about what we do. But I want to tell you, right now is a very significant time in history, not only for Israel, but the nations. I mean, the nations are in an uproar, aren't they? And it's, like, amazing what's going on. You know, I don't know how you look at the news, and obviously it's been certainly a fought-over item. The news today in the news is fake news. And I'm not just quoting the President Donald Trump. I'm telling you, we've been seeing this in Israel for decades. We've been suffering through this long before this came about as such a controversy. Even going back to the Gulf War and all the wars that Israel seems to fight, we're always on the defensive in the media. And we become so apologetic that even our own media in Israel, I'm talking about the Hebrew media, is very left in many ways and stands against our own Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who we think is called of God and the best prime minister we've had in a long time. Amen. Not perfect. These are human beings that serve in public office. But I have to tell you something, that whatever it is for Israel, so it is for the body of Messiah. So we should only hope and pray and fast that God fulfills his physical and spiritual promises to Israel, because the more I hear pastors and religious leaders and messianic rabbis talk about, and not all of them talk in this particular way, but some do. Some have a partial picture, others have a very good global view of what God's doing. But I'm trying to say is that basically, if we don't see Israel come into its fulfilled promises and purposes, of which there are hundreds of promises in the Word of God, how do you ever expect, or how does a minister out there in the world expect that the church will ever see revival? It cannot happen if you leave Israel out of the equation. Israel is the centrality and the engine that makes the rest of it move forward. That's my opinion, and I'm biased because I'm an Israeli citizen. But I am also a privileged citizen of two nations. I was born in the land of milk and Motown, the home of soul music. That's where I'm from originally. And I'm the imitation Coca-Cola. Batya was born in Jerusalem. She's the real thing. But both of us are Jews, fully blooded Jews, as far back as we can see in both our families. In my family, a line of rabbis going way back, ending up in New York City, where else? The second Israel. Yeah, it's full of holes, especially with the mayor there. In fact, the mayor, I heard somebody shout out something about Mr. de Blasio. Here's my take on it. The other day, a New York police officer was gunned down, and he takes off for Germany to protest against the United States of America and against Donald Trump, doing what he can to save this nation's face in the eyes of Europe and the global nations with serious, serious threats coming from North Korea. We know those threats are real because North Korea has been supplying the missile technology to the Islamic jihadists in the Middle East. This is not just an alliance of one nation out there that's led by a crazy man. That crazy man has been supporting the Iranian mullahs in the Middle East with missile technology. There's more at stake than we realize. And this mayor of New York, I hope that he decides to stay in Germany. And I have a little bit of foothold in New York because my younger daughter lives and studies there, and my mother lives there. So, and my older brother, when he wants to, lives there. So it's kind of like, give me a break. Where are the leaders today that serve God's purposes in the community? And we should be praying for righteous leaders who will come as close as possible to fulfilling a biblical mandate. Now, you may not agree with my politics, but basically my politics are this. God is neither a Democrat nor a Republican. And our first responsibility is to the kingdom of God. But my Bible tells me pretty much what those kingdom principles and laws are. And guess what? You're looking at two tablets that are the foundation of it. People say all the time, well, that's old stuff. But Yeshua came and he said, I didn't come to destroy the law. I came to fulfill it. So I'm into fulfillment. And I believe we are to preach the gospel of the kingdom. So back to what I was saying about the rabbi and the priest and the minister. So there was a rabbi and there was a Catholic priest and there was a Baptist minister. And they were all discussing about what would you like people to say at your funeral when you pass on and there's a casket and the people are walking by. And the Catholic priest said, well, I'd like them to remember me as one who had sympathy and compassion on the poor and one who was a great shepherd of the sheep in my church. And the Baptist minister said, well, I'd like people to know that I was a great family man and that I pastored my congregation faithfully. And then they turned to the rabbi and they said, what would you like people to say when they walk down past your casket and see you there laying in state and people remembering you. He said, I'd like people to look down at me and say, look, he's moving. What that has to do with my message, I have no idea whatsoever. But God is in the business of parallel restoration. It's happening today in God's kingdom purposes. And as I says, as it is for Israel, so it will be for the body of Messiah, the remnant of the nations. Now, if you look back historically, and I'm not going to go through it all, I don't need to tell you, but one particular time frame really stands out because this year we celebrated the 50th year anniversary of the reunited Jerusalem. In fact, it was in May. And that was incredible. And we sat there in Jerusalem on the streets outside the Jaffa Gate as they did this powerful media and music show, and the leaders of Israel, the prime minister was there, the president was there. I just had goosebumps all over realizing how significant a time this has been. And when you look back, and by the way, I was bar mitzvahed right after the Six-Day War. I'll never forget it because I was training for my bar mitzvah in July 1967. The day of my bar mitzvah, that night, the Detroit riots broke out. Everybody said my bar mitzvah was one big riot. But it was really true. That's when I was bar mitzvah, the day the riots broke out. But it was only a month before that Israeli soldiers from the 55th Paratrooper Brigade broke through with a couple other brigades and reunited Jerusalem for the first time in nearly 19 centuries. Now, what's significant is from an American perspective, because I was born here at the time before I made Aliyah, immigrated there after I had left school. But what's interesting is that in the same year, there was a group of people meeting in Haight-Ashbury in San Francisco. Remember the flower people and all the free drugs and the free sex and all you need is love and all this? But at the same time, in 1967, the Jesus People movement broke out in Haight-Ashbury, San Francisco, California. So as Israel, as it affected or impacted America, as Israel had come into a restoration of the capital city, which was not, is not today 50 years old, by the way. No, it's over 3,300 years ago. It goes back to the time of King David. I don't know where the news people get their history because they don't know what his story is at all. The news today, it's for most young people, and don't take offense if you're younger than I am, but for most young people, history is what is today, and by tomorrow, it's gone. Most people don't study history. Most Christians don't even know their history, don't even know their Bibles. And so we need to get back to the roots of our faith. But I believe as Jerusalem was restored, and I don't know exactly, Rabbi Burt, when you came to know the Lord, but I came to know the Lord in 1971. I would say 90% of the Jewish believers I know today in Yeshua the Messiah came to know the Messiah after 1967. I think that's a fair evaluation. And so I believe it was a signpost. Now, it's not only that. This year, we're celebrating 120 years from 1897 when Theodor Herzl opened the first Zionist Congress in Basel, Switzerland. And again, that's where the whole modern thought stream of thought of Zionism was born in the modern context, not through a religious Jew, but through a secular Jewish journalist that God chose, who was a witness to the Dreyfus trials, the demeaning anti-Semitic court-martial of a French officer that he was reporting on. That was Theodor Herzl. And so he saw what was happening, and he called for the first Zionist Congress, of which in that Congress, he said, he projected in faith, a secular man, that within 50 years, Israel might become a nation. And so 50 years later, in 1947, the UN voted for the partition of Palestine, a made-up map amongst the nations, the League of Nations, and that would deliver us to May 14th, 1948, the birth of the modern state of Israel. And next year, we will be celebrating 70 years of the modern state of Israel. And I believe it's going to be a party. But I believe the devils in hell don't like one bit of it. So we need to keep our eyes open as to what's happening. Not only that, but in 1917, how many years ago is that now? 100 years? The Balfour Declaration was pronounced about a revived homeland for the Jewish people. So we're celebrating 120 years since the first Zionist Congress this year. We're celebrating 100 years from the Balfour Declaration, and we're celebrating 50 years of Jerusalem being reunited for the first time in 19 centuries. So I believe this is a great time to rejoice. And I believe that instead of being so depressed all the time about the events in the world, we should be rejoicing. Now, I'll be the first to say, when President Donald Trump was elected, we were there at the inauguration. And one main reason amongst many that we voted for the Republican Party was the totally committed stance that we sensed that they were pronouncing concerning a commitment to the nation of Israel, the Jewish people, both in defense, and they put their money where their mouth is. This year, Bati and I were invited by the Israeli military. Our daughter had served in the Air Force, and we have done a lot of work with the Israeli military. All of us, Bati and myself, all our three children, have all served in different branches of the Israeli military. I tell you, I've never been so proud to be an American citizen and an Israeli citizen when the first two F-35 fighter jets that were created here by Lockheed Martin were sent to Israel to help Israel keep the military edge in the Middle East. The first two of about 50 on order. Amen. And I want to tell you, we couldn't have had better seats. We were like in the third row, neck right behind the two pilots that were flying in from Rome that night, with all sorts of military generals, Air Force generals from all over the world. And Ashton Carter, I think is his name, the Secretary of Defense, was there, Prime Minister Netanyahu, President Rivlin. And Brother Bert, we met today's President Rivlin years ago at a hotel in Jerusalem. I think you and I were together. And then he was a member of the Knesset, and a very nice man. And I want to tell you, when we all stood up and we started singing the National Anthem of America to honor the United States of America in Israel on an Air Force base, a secret Air Force base, I had tears running down my eyes. I said, oh God, thank you that I was born in America. And then as soon as that finished, we sang Hatikva, the National Anthem of Israel. Then I had even more tears. I mean, my kids are so embarrassed to go to movies with me. I even cry at cartoons. But I was really touched. And I want to tell all of you, we pray for America. Many of us in Israel pray for the United States because America doesn't have any better. The United States of America has one great friend in the nations today, and that's Israel. And Israel has one great friend in the nations. I'm not saying we don't have some other friends. India is becoming one of our greatest allies next to the United States. But I just want to tell you, we pray for all of you. And we pray that this bridge of cooperation will not go away. You know, one of the themes of our ministry, which is called Vision for Israel Today, and the Joseph Storehouse, which is the humanitarian aid end, but Vision for Israel really is on the basis of the scriptures in Proverbs, without a vision, the people perish. In Matthew 25, Yeshua said these words. These are his words. He said in Matthew 25, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, verse 31, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations, how many nations? All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand,
Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, my Jewish brethren, you've done it unto me. I believe God is setting a standard for the nations. What will the nation's response be in relationship and in regards to the nation of Israel? You don't have to be a Jew to be part of the Commonwealth of Israel. You only have to be a citizen of God's kingdom and a Jew in your hearts that has been circumcised by the DNA, the Jewish blood of Yeshua the Messiah. The same Jew who was crucified by the Romans in Jerusalem is the same Jew who's coming back to the city of Jerusalem, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the emblem on the flag of Jerusalem, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. So I'm getting excited. That's why I can't stop shouting, because I'm excited. And that's why most Jews talk with their hands when they get excited. And that's why many Ashkenazi Jews have to take blood pressure medicine. I don't know. But anyhow, at least this one does. But, you know, having pastored and shepherded a congregation in Israel for 12 years prior in Jerusalem, and now being sent out from Israel almost every month to the United Kingdom. I've been on over 200 flights to the United Kingdom with the vision of trying to speak to the remnant of God's people throughout the United Kingdom, England, Scotland, Ireland, Northern Ireland, or the Irish don't consider themselves part of the United Kingdom, but the Northern Irish do, and of Wales, because on my heart is to turn the nations back to God's purposes for Israel and the Jewish people. We have four planted fellowships. We don't live in England. We live in the outskirts of Jerusalem on a mountainside. Well, it's a hill, really. But in Jerusalem, we call them mountains because we want to make it sound better than it looks. And so as the mountains are around Jerusalem, so my people shall be. And so I've been going every month to the UK. We have four fellowships we planted over the last 17 years. I would say they kind of comprise of Jew and Gentile, one and Messiah. But we have a humanitarian aid work that reaches out to Jews of all types and backgrounds, Arab believers and unbelievers and all minority groups. And since we began, we've distributed and touched the lives with aid to over 900,000 Israeli citizens and residents. Next week, on Monday, we fly home because we begin distributing 8,000 more school packs with supplies, brand new, by the way, not junk, not donated, but brand new that we've bought and purchased for the least of these, his brethren. And we start distributing throughout July and August to over 8,000 children. If more money comes in, it'll reach 10,000. And so far, we've purchased 220,000 school bags and packs and supplies for children in Israel. And you know what? I don't care if I have a picture with a politician. We don't care if it's covered on the news. What we care is what Messiah thinks. And what Messiah said in his word, what Yeshua said directly to his disciples, that when you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. Our hearts were changed after the Gulf War. That was a life changer, Rabbi Burt, and it was a life changer for Bati and I, because we've seen life and death before our eyes. In the 90s, we began to see suicide terrorists and suicide bombers. On February 25th, 1996, when we came off a three-week ministry tour in South Africa, our older daughter at that time was at home with our son waiting for us. But she usually went out in the morning. At that time, that bus 18 traveled through the streets of Jerusalem, which is the bus line we lived on at the time. When we got into the taxi at the airport, they had just reported that a Hamas suicide bomber had bombed bus number 18 in Jerusalem. And as parents even born-again believers, our hearts were pumping, wondering where our children were at that time. That was the exact hour our daughter would leave in the morning. On that bus that morning, we got home, and our daughter, thank God, was there. She just felt led by the Lord to stay at home. And she was with our younger son. They hadn't seen us in 3 weeks, and with the au pair that we left them with. But that morning, our daughter lost 3 of her friends, were blown to bits by a Hamas suicide bomber. 1 week later, another one of her friends was murdered and killed by a Hamas suicide bomber. We have never looked back from that day on. I've been at 2 terror attacks since that time where I've seen charred bodies, where I've seen bodies blown apart, and only there moments afterwards to report it for news, because I also am a journalist. And in Isaiah chapter 61, I think this is really the heart of what Yeshua's ministry is all about, not only through the work of Vision for Israel, but through all of our lives. Everybody say all of our lives. This was what he always intended that we would do. When Yeshua said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness." I want to tell you, our hearts are pouring out constantly for the poor and the needy, the orphans and the widows in Israel today. I believe that by partnering together, we can bring the light of Yeshua into the hearts of millions of Israelis today. We are a nation of 8.6 million people right now, 80%, 79% who are Jewish. And so I know that we and you, as we intercede and pray on these prayer watches, and we volunteer freely for God's army in this end time, we will see God's purposes come to pass in our midst. Some of you, when you came in, started quoting a line from my TV program, One for You and One for Me. How many of you watch Roots and Reflections? Well, there we go. I have one faithful watcher in here. At 9 o'clock, you saw it this morning, right? 9 o'clock a.m. Fridays on Daystar, you'll see Vision for Israel's program, Roots and Reflections. It's not me preaching. It's about visiting Israel and eating lots of food with me. Therein my problem today. But if you want to learn more about Israel, I invite you to watch the program. It's on actually Daystar twice a week, I think Wednesday and Fridays, and on God TV on Mondays at 6 p.m., and I think it's on the NRB, National Religious Broadcasting Channel. But tomorrow morning, just in a minute, I want to show this video. But tomorrow morning, I want to talk about specifically Jerusalem. I want to really go in depth about the city of Jerusalem. There's more to it than meets the eye, how it all affects us. And if you're not able to come, please visit our website at visionforisrael.com. And we have an app which is called VFI or Vision for Israel, which can be downloaded. And I just want to say, to God be the glory in all things today. It's an exciting time to be alive and well. So just take a peek at what we're doing. It's a 3-minute video. And we'll be happy to meet you at our table in the Oneg room afterwards. We appreciate those who have come from afar. And maybe we'll have a chance to close with another song, depending on what we're supposed to do. So have a look at this.
Changing the lives of thousands. children.
I met this young lady actually at a Bible study for Messianic Jewish believing songwriters and musicians, but in the winter of 81 basically. And I believe our friends Elchanan and Julie Ben Avraham were there at that meeting actually. And well, long story short, I had just made Aliyah and immigrated 6 months before I moved to Israel with a Bible teacher named Derek Prince. And I lived with him for 6 years until Bati and I were married. I had known Derek since I was a long hair hippie who had just been born again. I was what you call a hippie, yippie, radical left wing, communist, Marxist, atheist, overthrow the government, revolutionary, rock and roll guitar playing Jew. And then I was miraculously saved by the grace of God through a divine voice, audible voice that God spoke to me. And I've never been the same since. So I went from all those labels to becoming a Baptist Pentecostal Messianic Jew. And so when I came to Israel, I was probably everything a good Jewish boy shouldn't be growing up. And I would meet this girl who was a young lady who was from an Orthodox background, but loved Yeshua the Messiah. Kind of.
I'll tell you the truth. Is this working? No?
No, you have
one,
to pay
two?
Him.
Okay. To be honest, the truth.
Is this not fake news?
Everything about Barry is that the truth is that I've reached his heart through his stomach. I was making hummus, and he just loved the hummus. That's the truth, right?
Yes, and that's it where meets. Israel gets all its natural gas from.
Shh, not too loud. Anyway.
So the rest is history. I mean, it's a good thing I lived with Derek Prince at the time because somebody needed to control me. And
he was a lone soldier, too. I had pity on him, you know. Had no family. Somebody had to cook for him. So he would come, and his excuse was that he came to pray with a bunch of other guys. They would come and pray for my situation and then told Derek about me. And somehow Derek and Ruth invited me to a prayer meetings at their home, and actually our relationship started with in a prayer meeting, right? That's how it started. So it was established on very good foundation. That's why we are 30 years and going on strong, right, Barry?
Yep,
30 years of you have been married. Oh, yeah, man. But we also worked with each other for 5 years before, almost.
Yeah, and then her salary got too high.
Never mind. Let's not go there. Hallelujah. Hodula Adonai Kitov. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endures forever. We want to give thanks to the Lord because he is the center of our life, and he is the source of our joy. Amen. The source of our health, the source of everything in our life and our being. And we just want to give him thanks, for his grace endures forever.
Rabbi Bert, and as Rabbi's coming up forward, we just want to remind you about the sign-up sheet and the newsletter in the back, in the next room over, with a DVD in it. It's free for you. And the app is VFI, or Vision for Israel.
Why didn't we talk? I was pulling Miluim up north of Jerusalem at that time. I had no idea you were in. We should talk more. People should talk more.
Yes.
I could have had a lot more respect for you earlier. This is 25 years I've wasted. make out checks to Roe Israel. We'll put them all together and make one check out to Varin Batya. It sounds like all proceeds will go to the Lord's work. And be generous. There are ministries that come and there are ministries that go, but my brother and sister have been real faithful, decade after decade after decade. I certainly can attest to your good cooking. Woman fed me, and it was good. Father, in Yeshua's name, I thank you for my brother and sister, and I thank you for bringing them here. May it not be another 20 years. Especially on this night of prayer, Lord God, when we'll be lifting up so many things that need your attention. Maybe the whole point of the prayer is for it to come to our attention. You're already aware. I lift up my brother and sister as well, that you would continue to give them the strength to walk in the paths of righteousness, to feed and clothe, and to bring comfort to those who are hopeless. I thank you that you have raised up an army of people, not just who fight, but who show mercy as well. Lord God, our first king, King David, was a warrior without equal, but he also had a heart of gold. You can hear it, Lord God, in his words. It is probably why you called him a man after your heart. You are fierce at times also, but you are compassionate and loving. And I ask, Lord God, that your love would be shown through these two ere they go, and that the provision to feed and to clothe and to supply all of our people in Israel and even our enemies, that's a tough one, Lord. Sometimes our hearts need softening. May you give them the grace to walk in light in Yeshua's precious name. Amen. Fill up the buckets. That's when the Lord got a hold of me and dropped a loop on me and drag me in. And it was an amazing time, wasn't it? It was a move of God's Holy Spirit like as major as any in history. Tens of thousands of stoned, wasted people just came flocking to the Lord because we got so disillusioned with the path we were on. And then the Lord opened our eyes, and it was just half the leadership of the Messianic movement today. God found, where did he find Andrew Shishkoff? He found him in a cave in New Mexico. Lord had to bring me on a 4,000-mile trek. Me and the wife walked 4,000 miles to find the one man who could preach the gospel to us so I would understand it. And they say he's not a personal God. That ain't true. God takes an interest in each one of us. And as the psalmist says, it's too wonderful. It's too high. Can't even attain to it. It's magnificent. The God who created everything knows my name. Wow. Well, let's get dismissed here. Whiff, come on up. Get yourself a blessing. See the blessing of the Lord tonight and the anointing that comes with that blessing, the anointing of our Lord's peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face upon you and give you peace. Receive his blessing. Yivarechach Adonai Vayishmarecho. Yair Adonai Panav Elecha Bechunecho. Yisahu Adonai Ahanavi lecha v'yachasem lecho. Shem Yeshua, Mishachenu, Sar HaShalom, in the blessed name of our Messiah Yeshua, the Prince of Peace, all God's children would say,
Amen.
God bless you, Shabbat Shalom.